Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cowboy Church. My name is Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And today we are here at Cowboy Church on RFD talking about one of the hardest things to do.
Is forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness. So you have trouble with that too?
Well, mostly myself, but yeah, I hold a few grudges. Yeah. But it was so neat because I had asked you what you're going to speak on, you know. And this past week, my husband Mark spoke at a youth rally at school.
Okay.
And he talked about forgiveness. And his illustration was he picked up a chair and he said, say someone hurts you and you don't forgive them, then you're carrying around that unforgiveness all around. And you bump into people and pretty soon people quit messing with you. They just don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
Because you're mad or you just don't have forgiveness.
Sure.
So.
And temperamental kind of goes with that too.
It sure does.
But I read a deal, and I don't have this in my message, so I'm going to set it up. But there are some of the difficulties with unforgiveness. There are mental issues that unforgiveness causes.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the Waterboy movie when they had that amygdala?
Uh-huh.
Unforgiveness affects the amygdala. And I'm not even sure I'm saying that right.
Amygdala. Yeah.
But there's three or four parts of your brain that unforgiveness affects negatively. Yeah. It affects it negatively. Yeah. So
does it get worse with age?
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is if it affects it negatively, that it's stupid to walk in unforgiveness. That's about how simple I make it.
For that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, it is. And, you know, our minds should not be on ourselves so much. I mean, you know, we've got to think about how we do things and what we say and stuff like that. But if our mind is not towards Christ, then we're not really truly doing the right things in our life. We're not saying the right things. We're not being led by the Spirit. And so having that unforgiveness kind of makes us a little, what we call in Oklahoma, a little whomper-jawed. You're off kilter.
Well, I don't know what whomper-jawed is, but I can guess. You know,
you're off kilter.
Yeah.
You're off kilter. And so your life will be out of balance. So think about this. Think about those who you have ought against as Russ teaches. It may go back as far as your ancestors. It may be, why in the world why did they settle here? Why did this happen? It may be against your children, your parents, a coworker,
or even God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Pray now to find your answer today and act on it, okay? Sit back and relax. I'm going to sing a song, and then Russ is going to speak. We're praying for you that this would do an abundance of work in your heart.
It's kind of like, forgive me, but I'm going to step in here.
Yeah. Now, this is what I call good country music right here. Come on, put your hands together with me, would you?
I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. And I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm blue, pure and perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. And I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
How many of y'all think of yourself as an old chunk of coal? A little rough around the edges, kind of blurt out things when you shouldn't, get people a little messy, you know, a little cloud follows you all the time. Yeah, there's some of you. How many of y'all think of yourself
yourself as a diamond. You're spit polished, everything comes out right, everything's wonderful, hat shaped just right. There you go, there's one. Okay, for all of you who have lied previously, how many of y'all think you're in transition from a chunk of coal to a diamond? Yeah, I think that would be probably more appropriate. I know that y'all have heard this song by John Anderson, so I want you to sing it with me on the last chorus, would you? Come on, put your hands together. I'm gonna learn the right words to talk. I'm gonna search and find a better way to walk. Spin and polish my rough edge itself till I get rid of every single flaw. And I'm gonna be the world's best friend. I'm gonna go around shaking everybody's hand. I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Would you stand up with me, shake two or three hands? Find somebody you don't know, introduce yourself, invite them over for supper. Shaking everybody's hand. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, but I'm gonna be a diamond. Come on, sing it with me now, come on. I'm just an old chunk of coal. On your heart, this is your invitation. Lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, I can walk on water. I'm a restless sea. I've done a thousand things you've never done. And I'm weary watching while you struggle on your own. Call my name, I'll come. Lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you. My child, lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child. I give vision to the blind, and I can raise the dead. I've seen a thousand things you've never done. Father, we love you this morning. Father, I know these people have been under some stress. I know they've had some heartache. Lord, I ask you right now to meet each one in their places as they are this morning. I ask you, Lord, to help them to open up their hearts and open it wide for you to come in and touch their lives this morning. Lay down your burdens. I will carry you, my
We have another day. And I feel it's really important that every once in a while as a pastor, a preacher, that I deal with things that are the things that we have to deal with every day. So today I've got a message on forgiveness, and it picks up in Psalm chapter 130, and we're going to go to the third and fourth verses. And it says this: "If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait on the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth on the Lord more than they that watch for mourning. I say more than they that watch for the mourning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." We're going to talk about forgiveness today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that today that you would help us to be to the point. God, that you would help us to be sharp and clear, and help our understanding to be the way that you want it to be understood, I pray. Lord, we commit this message to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is a wonderful, wonderful tool. Now, I'm going to explain forgiveness to you a little bit, and then we'll go into some stuff that's kind of fun. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an absolute decision. And the decision is made by a person who needs to forgive because that person needs it more than the person who is being forgiven. I had a lady come up to me some time back, and she goes, "Russ, I want to ask your forgiveness." And I said, "For what?" And I had no idea what she's going to talk about. She goes, "Well, I felt really bad towards you, and I just wanted to get off my chest, so I wanted to forgive you because I don't feel that way anymore." And then I was a little bewildered. I thought, well, I wonder what it was I did. I was actually happier before I was forgiven. But forgiveness is just, it's an odd thing. Forgiveness is what you offer to somebody else. But the truth of the matter is that forgiveness has nothing to do with somebody else. It's a completely selfish, a God-ordained, selfish act. And what I mean by that is forgiveness is selfish because when I forgive, I'm the one who gets the blessing out of the opportunity. Now, you know, there's that old deal. This is nothing new to anybody, but unforgiveness is like the person who takes poison and hopes that the other person is going to die. It's just a foolish kind of thing. But all of us have had occasion and opportunity to be involved in unforgiveness. So in unforgiveness, what happens is that we take something to heart, and as we take it to heart, it becomes something that is no good for us at all. In the Lord's Prayer, he deals with unforgiveness. He goes through, and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day." Verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he backs it up, and then at the end of the prayer, in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not," or unforgiveness, "if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Something about that makes me feel like that's pretty serious. If I'm not forgiven, if I understand things right, the whole reason people go to heaven is because they've offered their sin to God, and he's forgiven their sin, made him clear where they go to heaven. Well, if I don't forgive and I go to God and I pray all the exact same words, he said, "Hey, wait. What about this unforgiveness? Forgiveness for you is not going to happen until you forgive the other person. There it is. Unforgiveness is destroying my eternity because I can't forgive. And I don't want that to happen. Guys, I've had opportunities for unforgiveness. I'll tell you about one that I struggled with at one time. In college, one of the professors just decided he hated me. It was in Bible school. He just hated me. And he was over the student government, and I was the freshman class representative. And so he just didn't like me at all. Nothing I would do would satisfy. And he's kind of a temperamental old guy and really difficult to deal with. And I don't know why he had anything to do with students. He's looking back, truthfully, he's kind of a sore head. And the guy went out of his way to make sure that nothing I could do would ever succeed. And I got to where I resented him. I really resented him. And a few years later, I got in the home missions appointment to the Rodeo Cowboys, and man, things were going really good for us. And we got the center story in the Pentecostal Evangel about rodeo ministry, and they took our pictures and they showed us at the rodeos, holding church at the rodeos, and you know, kind of a lot within the assemblies that was a big deal for us. And I saw him at one of the general councils, and I saw him standing there, and I thought, I really have forgiven him. I want to go talk with him. And I greeted him and told him who I was. And he goes, "Oh, I know who you are." And I said, "Well, I just wanted to say hi, just make sure." And he goes, "You know, always amazes me the people that God can actually use." In other words, he was putting me down again. And when I walked away, I wanted to hit him. I seriously wanted to hit him. And it hit me that I just thought I'd forgiven him. But the thing is, what would have been the very worst thing in the world is for me to allow what I thought was bad action on his part to affect my eternity. That wouldn't have been any good. And later on, I realized that I really had forgiven him because I heard some stories about him, that he had done some good things for the kingdom of God, and I was really proud of him. And I just realized that God helped me forgive that guy, and he was able to do things that I couldn't have done. And he's able to affect the kingdom positively. So let's go through this forgiveness. Through forgiveness, we are washed. Through forgiveness, we have sanctification. In other words, we're set apart, holy, and consecrated and dedicated and sanctified before God. We're approved and condoned by God and endorsed and legitimized and free from sin because of sanctification that only happens through forgiveness. Through forgiveness, we have justification, the act of showing something to be righteous or reasonable. And the last thing we have to say about it is this: we show ourselves as excusable, self-justified versus forgiven from God is the way that we rationalize. Look, I've worked just enough in prisons to know a couple of things. A couple of things are this, that there are two kinds of incarcerated people. They're the kind that think that they don't deserve to be in prison. They really didn't do anything wrong, even though they've been convicted. And then I guess there's three. There are people that have been convicted and treated badly, that's for sure. But majority of people in prison, the reason that they're there is they've been convicted. They've done something wrong. And of those, of that group, those two, part of them will say, I'm innocent. I always was innocent. And the other ones will say this, that I really did all of that. And I'm going to use this as an opportunity to grow and improve. And I tell you, when a person will look at themselves properly, what happens is forgiveness has to happen to other people. But one of the greatest things you can do with forgiveness is you can forgive yourself. Because most of us, when we look at our past, there's enough stuff back there where we realize that we're just as human as everybody else. And when we realize that, then what we have to do is we have to forgive ourselves. And man, it's harder to forgive yourself than it is other people. Because you know good and well you had choices that you made bad ones about. You had better choices that you could make. And what I want with all of my heart, I want for you, I want for your neighbors, I want for your friends, I want for your family, I want them to, first of all, be forgiven by you. And secondly, I want you to be forgiven by yourself, and I want those relationships restored. The Bible says the second half of forgiveness is this. If you've been an offending party, if you've been the person who has been the offender and the offending party, the Bible says that it's up to you, before you come and talk to God about it, it's up to you to go to that person and ask for forgiveness, because that puts the onus back on somebody else besides you. You don't want the onus on yourself. You want it on, you don't want it on anybody else, because that's unforgiveness also. You want justification. You want sanctification. You want forgiveness. Man, what I want for you today is for you to be able to forgive, and especially in families. Guys, I loved the Charlie Kirk's widow when she stood up before a crowd and she made the statement, "I forgive that young man." Man, if you want an example of how to forgive, there it is. Because in her heart, she had to come to the realization that that needed to be a decision. Because emotionally, there's no way she could have felt that without making a decision. And your decision then begins to rule over your emotions. And you can give the kind of forgiveness that only God can forgive. Because nobody in this world could do that without the grace of God working and flowing through them. And that's what I'm asking you today. Please forgive. Please forgive the people that have offended you. Please forgive the people that have wounded you. Please forgive anybody that you hold a grudge against. It'll work better for you, and I promise.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters, and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.